are now about to witness the strength of geek knowledge.
I geek out about TV shows. I geek out about music. Star Wars, of course. Fantasy stuff, Lord of the Rings. Star Wars, of course. God geek.
Here it is. It's the God Geeks podcast, and we apologize.
Yeah.
We know it's like going without oxygen as you're locked in a space capsule flying through the expanse, and you're trying to fix your radio. There's no information coming out.
You're giving away the first episode.
And you're dying. You're dying in there, and then finally... the air turns back on.
Yeah, that's like hearing our voices.
Communication has been reestablished, and hope is once again delivered to your hearts. The God Geeks are back. And we apologize. The holidays and some other things that we're going to talk about in This Week in Geek have happened. And here's the really cool thing. There are some super, super exciting things that are going to happen in 2017 with the God Geeks, with not just, hey, this is bigger than podcast. It's bigger than just our little nerdy group of people who love to talk theology and
geekology.
This thing is getting bigger,
it's
expanding, and that's all I'm going to say. Like the expanse, like when... Earth takes over Mars, something like that is on the horizon for the God Geeks, and so we're excited about that.
It's only fitting because we've been doing this officially a year now.
Right.
Did you realize that? One whole year as of this episode.
A year and...
Yeah.
Well, this is the annual... This is the first annual episode.
First annual episode.
So 500 years after the Reformation, a show launches 1 year in advance... that changes the world, and it's the God Geeks podcast.
Yeah.
Oh, let's get into Jedi mind tricks.
I don't believe it.
That is why you fail. You must unlearn what you have learned.
It's Jedi mind tricks, the portion of the show that you know that we get into some really geeky God stuff, geek out about a theological issue, something on our minds, on our hearts. And James, what do we want to talk about when it comes to theological things, when it comes to Jedi mind tricks?
This might be a conversation that has to go over a few episodes, but I'm trying to make my way through from start to finish the Lutheran Confessions.
Okay.
Yeah, so I thought maybe we... This was kind of your idea, too. Maybe we start at the beginning where they start and kind of work through some of the highlights of the Confessions, the Book of Concord, which Book of Concord, awesome name. It makes so much sense.
we're not really good at names.
No, you've mentioned that before, Lutherans and names.
Well, it's a good year to do it.
Yeah, because this is 2017. And in, 1517, something
And
happened?
The world's coming to an end this
world's
year.
World's coming to end, definitely. Yeah.
So maybe on January 20th, but never mind that. Never mind that.
We don't do politics on this
don't.
Show.
The Book of Concord, the Lutheran Confessions, as you say, came about historically how many years ago this year?
Well, 500 years ago.
500 years.
Yeah, they kind of got their start 500 years ago.
So
took a while for them to
compile.
Not
every document, right? But this was these are documents from the Reformation of the Church, and that's a really, really geeky thing to talk about theologically.
Geeky. Yeah.
And there's a ton to...
It's a thick book.
There's a lot there, but here's what's crazy. When you actually read it and you dig into it You realize how well thought out and defended positions are based on scripture and on the teachings of the church.
Yeah, so you're hitting on one of the pros of having confessions, because Lutherans aren't the only group with confessions.
Right.
And I would argue that even groups that say they don't have confessions, well, they're confessing things. Maybe it's just what their pastor believes on, you know, in general.
Right.
Might not be written down, but it's still confessional in a way.
Right.
But I think there's a real positive to having written down confessions that can be used for a guide.
I've had a conversation with a friend. I think I may have mentioned this before too. He's a pastor at the Church of Christ,
mm-hmm.
and we've had conversations, and he was like, I'm jealous because I wish we had, because I was like, well, what do you go by? What do you, you know? And he's like, we don't have anything that's formal. I mean,
lead to a lot of arguments.
Yeah. I mean, it's a totally different, way that their church has developed. There's no real centralization to it, and it's really ambiguous,
right,
as to what you might get from church to church. But there's generally, I think, a strong argument and case to be made by Church of Christ people. But it's not like they, from my understanding of what he said,
mm-hmm.
that they're really confessing anything historical.
Mm-hmm.
Which is what the main thing about to me that these writings are, is that they're not simply confessions of the faith. That they are those things, but they are historical documents.
You
know, you can
read chronologically even.
Well, yeah. And they obviously they predate anything in American Christianity, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
by hundreds of years.
Yeah. And they build on and stand on the shoulders of the fathers of the faith before that.
Yeah,
and
going back to
controversies before
early church.
And that's very much the way that the New Testament came together as well, is that there were certain controversies and false teachings and false doctrine that were surrounding the church, and they needed clarity from the apostles. And this is the way we got
the
those writings.
Yeah,
so even though the confessions are not divine or inspired necessarily by God, they are inspired by events in history that are defending the Word of God, and then
follow a pattern of doing that.
And so the New Testament, you know, obviously it was inspired by the Holy Spirit, and the writers were led by the Spirit of God to write these things down. But they were also inspired by events, you know, that God used history, which he does, and intervened.
Yeah.
And so this is fascinating. So that brings up a big question with these documents, these writings. How do we even look at all these documents and writings? Do we say, are they on par with what the Bible?
Yeah. So I've heard some people try to do kind of a hierarchy, if you will. Okay, Bible on top, then the ecumenical creeds maybe, and then the rest of the confessions in some type of hierarchy. So I guess there's maybe some truth to that. You know, Scripture needs to be the ultimate. You know, it's the Word. It's the Word. The confessions aren't the Word. They're an interpretation of the Word.
So they're not the same as they're not on the same level of inspiration, if you will.
Right.
As the Bible.
Right. But one can confess that they are also that they are the correct interpretation of the Bible. You could confess that. And people take that stance.
I would maybe even go a little bit further than that personally.
Okay.
And this is why I would say they're closer than we think to inspired. And I'm in dangerous territory here, but here's why I'm going to say this, because from a Lutheran perspective, this is actually the case. Let me preface this with my understanding of the Lutheran perspective. Okay. That the Word of God is not limited to the text of Scriptures.
Sure.
When I preach something or someone else preaches something that is totally consistent with the Scriptures,
That's the Word of God.
Except it's not quoting directly the Scriptures, what they've just preached is the Word of God.
Yeah.
And so my belief in what the confessions are doing is they are absolutely interpreting what it is that the Scriptures are saying.
Okay.
And the confessions are not the scriptures, and I'm not putting them on the same level as that. However, what I will say is, anytime you're defending the faith or preaching the faith or proclaiming the faith consistent with the Word of God, you are actually proclaiming the Word of God. And therefore, in a very real way, when we read things in the confessions that are consistent with what the texts of the scriptures say, which that's the whole point of them,
yeah,
then we're actually are reading the Word of God. We're being spoken to in God's language. See?
Yeah.
And so without saying they're on par with the scripture, they are consistent with the scripture. That is our confession.
Yeah.
We're saying these are these documents that are historical, what they're actually saying is completely consistent with our understanding of what it is God has revealed in the scriptures. And ultimately, what he's revealed in the scriptures is who he's revealed in the scriptures. That's
right.
Jesus Christ. And so these interpretations of what the scriptures say, I think you could make a solid case. It's not much different than a pastor standing up and proclaiming to you, declaring to you what it is that the text of scripture says, which is the Word of God. And therefore, these are a bunch of pastors and theologians from 500 years ago who are saying, no, this is what the Bible says. Here are the issues with Christianity in our day. Here are the issues with the Catholic Church in our day.
Mm-hmm.
And so what we're proclaiming to you is the truth.
The Word of God.
Is the Word of God.
That
so,
makes sense.
So without calling them equal, you can say there's a very real sense in which they are the Word of God. They're not the scriptures.
So that's an interesting, I like that. That makes sense. And it would also imply that when other confessions are confessing the Word of God, when they are in line with the Word of God, they too are preaching the Word.
I think you're right.
We have to confess everyone's confession. That would be a little problematic.
There are a lot of things in Christendom, if you will.
Yeah, yeah.
That there are shared confessions.
There are, yeah.
That are not, and that's
the ecumenical creeds would be shared.
And a lot of churches do confess the creeds. They don't actually proclaim them or profess them in public, but they would say our beliefs are in line with the creeds, or they might pick one creed.
Yeah.
Western Christianity is a little bit different than Eastern Christianity things.
Because they wouldn't use the Apostles' Creed in Eastern.
So yeah, I can tell we're going to have to unpack this.
Yeah, we're
going
to have more episodes.
But as far as the creeds go.
Yeah.
And
that's kind of where the confessions, Lutheran confessions, start with the creeds, correct? Usually in the layout.
That is a big part of, hey, here is the basic proclamation of the faith.
Yeah.
The Augsburg Confession, the defense of the Augsburg Confession.
Right.
These are documents that were sort of pioneer documents, but you also have small call articles and catechisms written by Luther,
right.
Which are involved in there. You have the Formula Concord. So there are, I think what's beautiful is saying there's a lot there and there's a lot that's revealed and defended there.
Yeah.
The thing about the creeds is they far predate the confessions.
Way before the confessions.
Yeah. They're historical.
Like 300s, 400s, up to 800s.
Well, depending
right?
on the creed.
Yeah.
My understanding of the Apostles' Creed is a lot more ambiguous as to when it actually
right. There's
developed.
A lot of debate over that.
And there's actually. We need to do a whole episode on the Apostles'
Just
Creed
the Apostles.
Because there are some things in the Apostles' Creed that we say every Sunday that are a little controversial.
Yeah, okay.
They should be understood what it is that they're saying.
Yeah.
And this is why Luther does a good job of unpacking these things in his small catechism and his large catechism. And those documents are obviously included in those writings are included in the Lutheran confessions. To me, the most fascinating one is the Nicene Creed, and we can't really cover it all here in this episode because it would take too much time.
Right.
But the fascinating thing about the Nicene Creed is it was written at a time when Constantine in 325 when Constantine was emperor of Rome.
Right.
Constantine was a quasi or semi-Christian, and he was open to Christianity.
Right, it was no longer unlawful to be a Christian. Yeah.
So the fascinating thing is what happens in the Nicene Creed and then thereafter with the church. To me, the fascinating thing is, you would think that 250 years of Christianity being persecuted and oppressed essentially would have an effect on the teachings of Christianity in a negative way. Like, if you don't concede this point, we're going to kill you, or, you know,
right,
like,
right.
But the reality is the faith itself doesn't start really getting corrupted until after it's lawful and the government's power and authority comes behind it.
That's
and then
funny.
You have the sort
then
of
there's
a,
corruption.
So the controversy at the time, one of the biggest controversies at the time, was Arianism.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the environment in which the Nicene Creed kind of came about. And, we're going to have to save that thought.
Yeah. Let's talk.
We'll go
Nicene Creed
next week.
All right.
And we'll talk about some of the circumstances surrounding that. Cause it's really geeky. Yeah. I mean, well, to me, one of the most beautiful, wonderful, well-documented historical empires is the Roman Empire. You know,
I'm teaching Julius Caesar right now, so we're diving into that.
It's an ancient world. Yeah. It's a fascinating ancient world reality that we have so much good information about, and it's a really geeky thing to geek out about. You know, emperors and Rome and
just
war.
Get an HBO show on it.
I mean, I love geeking out about all that stuff. And it's a really fascinating Constantine story and the story of the church at the time, how things were handled. All of that is really well documented and really fascinating. And so we'll get into that geekiness next time on the God Geeks podcast. But now we've got to go into a little segment that we call
This Week in Geek.
C-3PO has got to be the real nerd.
It's against my programming to impersonate a deity.
Darth Vader was a cool character too, although he was the evil one.
I find your lack of faith disturbing.
All right. Lightsabers out or away, whichever.
Right.
I mean, Rogue One barely had any lightsabers.
Depending on what color.
Yeah.
Was there a single lightsaber in it?
Yeah, there's a lightsaber.
Vader
saber. That's
Vader.
The lightsaber
that
has. Okay, we're geeking. No, we're not.
Well,
we got other things to talk about.
Where is the one that's in 7 at the time of Rogue One? Obi-Wan Kenobi have it?
He's got it.
So, and Obi-Wan is mentioned in the movie.
Yeah.
In passing.
Yeah. He's got the saber.
It's
the Excalibur of lightsabers.
Obi-Wan in the movie almost has as much time as Darth Vader. But no,
I got some feedback that we were maybe a little harsh. And I'll agree.
Here's
but.
What's funny. Yeah, we probably were, but we're geeks. Here's
angry
the thing.
Geeks.
There's a lot of people I've heard say here's what's fascinating to me. There are a lot of people that I've heard say that are, in my opinion, are not like hardcore Star Wars people.
Okay.
They have said it's the best movie.
Yeah.
And it's fascinating.
It's a very
accessible
Star Wars.
You're already seeing the Disney effect of appealing to the widest possible audience with Star Wars. It's not
a bad thing.
Listen, 7 was incredible.
I can't wait for
7
8.
Was incredible. I
all
can't
right,
wait
we,
for 8.
We've talked about all this. I
what
got,
happened?
I got more important
what
news.
Happened?
That was my fault. That
we were
my
not going to talk about Star Wars. We were not going to.
Lightsabers.
That is.
Just say lightsaber and we go off on a tangent.
Man, that we have a problem.
Yeah.
There's a problem.
We need to get help. So we haven't talked in a while because I've been busy.
And what have you been busy with, James?
Let me ask the questions here. You ask it.
James, you're a dad times two now.
Yep.
You're second baby.
Second baby.
Tell us about the whole ordeal. As much as you want to geek out about
it. Sure. My wife's not listening. She won't care.
We want a dad geek. We want a dad geek this week in Geek because there's some beauty here. And so tell us his name. Tell us how it went. Tell us what
his
name means.
His name is
and
Chewbacca
all.
Yoda Cleveland. No.
Chewy.
I tried. Yeah. I tried with Chewy. I tried Indy. She wouldn't go for Indy. Because I had a dog named Indy once. The dog's name was Indy. And she wouldn't let me then name my child Indiana. And she also said it was geeky, too geeky. So Luke was next right away, too. That wasn't going to happen. But we went with Andrew.
I can't, that's a biblical name. I know. You could have thrown the whole Bible thing.
Yeah,
there.
But she knew I was going the Jedi route. Right. So, yeah. But yeah. Andrew, we went with Andrew Charles.
When you said his middle name would be Skywalker, she was like, I know it's not Bible.
Yeah. At least I didn't suggest Anakin. Yeah. No.
So you're calling him Andy.
Andy, yeah.
And his middle name is
Charles.
Charles.
Yeah.
Okay. So he's British.
He's British, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No, so that's great, man. Congratulations.
I'm excited. I have not gotten any sleep in weeks, it feels
and
like.
And you're still doing the podcast. This is how devoted you are.
I took like 2 weeks off, three weeks off. But right.
And didn't sleep.
Didn't sleep. Right. Well, you know, it's one
that's
of these.
That's not taking 2 weeks
so
off.
I've learned so much about pregnancy, it's not even funny. I now feel like I'm a pregnancy geek.
Yeah.
You know, I can geek out about it now.
Yeah.
Like, you ask me, you know, when to go to a hospital, I now know the correct answer.
You know when to go too early. I know that much.
Exactly. The answer is it's different every single kid, and there's no real way to know.
Right. Yeah.
So, you know, with our last baby, Maggie, you know, we went to the hospital because, you know, everything on the internet, and our doctor said when you have contractions every 5 minutes, go ahead and go to the hospital. We did that, and they were like, oh, no, you're not ready, and sent us home. We were back an hour and a half later, and it was almost too late to get an epidural or anything like that. And, you know, it was like, really cutting it close, right? So this time we're thinking, okay, we're not going to go when it's 5 minutes apart. We're going to go when it's 3 minutes apart and just be, we go, nope, you're not ready to send us home. And they're like, you know, come back when she's really in pain. And so we come back New Year's Eve. And I'm thinking, we're going to have
a New Year's Eve baby,
which means tax deduction for last year. Yeah. Yay. Yeah. Or worst case scenario, we're going to have a New Year's Day baby. I mean, how cool would that be, right? Yeah. We spend all New Year's Eve waiting on that baby to show up.
In the hospital. That's how you spent New Year's Eve.
Ryan, my wife's in so
it's
much...
It's actually going to be a great story.
It's going to be a great story. It was actually kind of fun, you know?
It's not a very good story right now, it's going to be a great story.
They finally gave my wife some pain meds, which stopped all the contractions cold. Just stopped them. And so they sent us on our way in the morning, and it wasn't until like a week later I'm cool now.
I'll relax.
I'm staying here. It's a hot tub. All right. It took a week of contractions, like every day, and just, you know, do we go to the hospital? Do we not go to the hospital?
A week.
Eventually, our doctor's like, just show up tomorrow. We're going to induce.
So let me ask you this.
Yeah.
When do they say she's in labor?
So there's apparently...
Was she in labor for a week?
She was in pre-labor. That's a thing, apparently.
That's stupid.
I know. Well, and if our doctor had not had been on call that night, New Year's Eve, they would have induced then, you know?
Aren't they... I'm ignorant on the thing. I'll admit it.
I actually know nothing.
Pre-labor for 9 months?
Yeah, right.
I mean, you know, like, so when the contractions start, they say this is pre-labor.
This is pre-labor. It could last anywhere from...
So what's the distinction between labor then?
Well, if we want to get into nitty-gritty, it's
well, you said
it's
you
called
were...
called dilation.
Okay. When the baby's arriving.
Arriving, yeah. So there's you can be dilated from... 1 centimeter up to, I guess, 8 or 10, okay. Right? And
right.
1 to 3 is pre-labor.
Okay.
And then 3 to 10 is labor, active labor.
That sounds so made up, dude.
I know.
It sounds
I
so
know.
Made up.
I didn't believe it when they were telling me, you're just trying to get me out of the hospital, take more money.
I have a quick story. I have a really good friend who's one of my best friends ever, and he was likening when he began to hear the gospel proclaimed to him,
okay.
When he began to hear the truth of the faith.
Yeah.
He likened it to the first time he heard about he had the sex talk and he heard about babies and where they come from and all that. He's like, this can't be. Then he found out it was.
Yeah.
And he likened that to that the whole his conversion experience of kind of going, this, it sounds so,
made up,
but then it's so real. Like it's so true.
Yeah.
And so you, yeah.
And I next week I'm doing a chapel for the middle school at my school, and I'm going to attempt to talk about all this with middle
schoolers.
Pregnancy, you know, the whole experience without, you know, talking too much details. Yeah. But we'll see how it goes.
Just don't get into dilation. Dimensions get opening up in
right.
Wormholes. You know, how we arrive and all this. No, I'm kidding.
So, that's what's been going on in my life.
Well, awesome, man. I mean, congratulations. Yeah. I know all the geeks out there, the God geeks out there that are listening to the show are celebrating that with you.
Yay.
We have a new little geeky kid. He's probably going to be like a football player.
Yeah. He's not my son.
No, but it's
we'll geek out about football if that happens.
Wonderful thing, a beautiful thing, and I'm glad we got to share it with everybody. And so real quick,
before
we sign off,
new stuff.
Speaking of babies, there's some new TV shows out there that we kind of geeked out about. Tell me what some of them are for you.
So the OA on Netflix, and I'm still not sure what OA means, and I'm like six episodes in. I think I figured it out. I don't want to give it away.
Okay, here's what we're gonna do.
Next week we can talk more.
You're gonna finish the OA because I've
got like two more episodes.
You're gonna finish the OA, and next week, all you geeks out there, you need to have watched the OA because we're gonna talk about it.
Yeah, definitely.
And the OA is, let me say this, it's really good, and there's some really dorky parts about it that make it for a geek. Make it even better.
Yeah.
I really.
If you liked Stranger Things, you'll probably like OA.
I think so.
And in fact, I think the actress in OA was a writer on Stranger Things.
Let me tell you this. It's darker.
It's darker. Way darker
than Stranger Things.
It's more HBO. Than Stranger Things.
Yeah. There's some sex and all that stuff in there. So it's an adult thing, but.
Okay, and what have you been watching?
Well, so I finished the OA because here's the thing. This is a year for Christmas break where I actually had more time off. Yeah, because of the way that Christmas Eve and Christmas fell, we actually didn't do more services, didn't have to devote more time to that kind of a thing. So I actually I did a lot of Netflix and a lot of Amazon Video. I almost did no television. And that's a big change for me. I'm actually at the place where I might
cut the cord.
Suggest to say I don't want satellite anymore because here's the thing.
Yeah.
That's what I just found out. Amazon Prime, part of the new membership of Amazon Prime is that you can subscribe to HBO, Showtime, Stars.
Yeah, you can do that through there.
So you don't have to have a carrier anymore. You used to have, to even get HBO Go, you had to have one of the...
Well, now you can do HBO Now, which is their standalone.
Oh.
And you can do Showtime through Hulu. So Amazon saw all that going on and goes, well, let's just do it. Let's make Amazon Prime the, channel, the outlet, if you will, for all those.
So you don't have to have... So to me...
It's easy to cut the cord.
AMC has gone downhill so bad. Well, and I think they'll end up on Netflix anyway.
It'll end up on Netflix and... Yeah.
Yeah. So I may do it. I may do it. And if I just have to see a baseball game or football game, then...
Go to a bar.
Or stream it. Yeah, you know? Anyway, the shows...
Yeah.
Netflix... I actually really enjoyed The Magicians. And
how far are you into that? Because I watched that when it was on Sci-Fi.
I finished it.
You finished it? It's the new season starting on the 25th.
Okay.
And I love the kind of semi-Narnia thing going on in it.
There's a Narnia thing. It's weird because it's a Harry Potter,
for
Narnia, and a really adult, really adult themes.
Yeah. I thought about reading it after watching it.
I didn't even know.
Books first.
Okay.
Yeah.
Nice.
So there's a series of books.
I didn't know. All I knew about it was there it was. Like, if you liked this on Netflix, you'll like this.
Yeah.
And I'll give this thing 5 minutes. And then I was like, this first episode's good.
It hooked me after the
first
episode.
I was in.
Yeah.
And it's like a long, it's like 13 or 14 episodes in the first season.
They're 45 minute episodes. So.
Yeah. So
I like the magic kind of system in it. There's always a system of magic.
It's really geeky. Yeah.
It's so geeky, but I like it.
Yeah.
And then, The Expanse. That's another one I've
been
watching.
I have started The Expanse.
Okay, and that's one I'm reading also while watching it.
Which is
interesting. I've never done that before.
I'm still doing The Expanse. I am I'm hopeful but skeptical as to how well it's gonna you may have finished it, maybe you know.
I've read the first book.
Did you love it?
I loved
the
first
book. Did you love the TV show?
Book. The TV show I'm enjoying because I know the book.
Okay.
I'm not, and I, so I don't know if I would have liked the TV show as a standalone thing.
It's not, there's not a lot of payoff for me yet. There are a few intriguing plot lines for me, but I just
well,
don't
or
have
what
time
are you
to,
like two or three episodes in?
I am on episode 4 and that's the
okay.
thing.
Okay. So you,
I'm at the point where I usually, something has to happen
yeah.
in three episodes.
In
to,
the,
to
in
hook
the
me.
Book, the thing that happens, happens quicker. So you haven't hit the stuff.
Oh well,
yet.
Then I'll stick it out. The other show that I'm starting now, and this is recommended by a good friend. Actually, the good friend who made the comparison between
birth and
the gospel, which is
that's actually a pretty
born
good,
again. Yeah. so the show that he suggested that I try. Actually, he was like, "You have to."
Okay.
Which. I take advice from close friends like that, yeah. like it's life or death. Peaky Blinders.
Okay, someone was telling me that too.
And
maybe it's the same someone. I don't
it's good.
Okay.
Now here again, I'm only 3 or 4 episodes in, but based on the guy who gave me the recommendation and how strong he feels about it,
okay,
it's good. It's
right.
good.
I'm
so,
gonna try that one out.
So
it keeps popping up on my Netflix. You would like this. You would like this.
I think I want to say there's more than one season.
Well, there's going to be a new season too because soon it's a is it a BBC joint venture?
It's definitely a Netflix original.
Netflix original,
but
now.
it could be BBC America or BBC.
Yeah, I think it's or it might be Sky TV something like that.
But it's well done. I mean, cool. So far. So, those are what we'll be exploring some movies and some other shows. Have you seen The Arrival? The movie?
Still haven't seen The Arrival.
And we're going to see that. We'll make you a promise that we'll eventually
we'll see
do.
That.
It may be Dollar Theater by the time. But I mean, all the good movies that we didn't really get you with the baby stuff.
Normally I see all my movies during the holidays and with the baby thing, I got to see Star Wars.
Yeah.
And I got to see it a second time with my dad and that was it.
And we've reviewed that a couple of times.
Yeah, I think
now.
We've talked about it. Yeah.
So anyway.
Okay. So the OA next week. Be
the
ready
OA
to watch.
Next week. Then we may get into some magicians stuff.
Yeah, that'd
especially
be cool.
Because
the new
season's
starting. Yeah.
And then we'll do there'll probably be some more
Peaky Blinders. So I'll catch up on that.
And maybe some Expanse stuff.
Yeah, there's so much good stuff out
so,
there.
So and none of it is on network TV or satellite or cable.
Oh, one more show.
Okay.
The Man in the High Castle is back, and it's awesome.
Okay. I have heard mixed reviews on the show.
It's totally mixed, but I like it.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Well, I may have to add that to my ever-growing list. It's nice to have a long list that you can't ever get to.
That's
you
good.
Know?
It's a good thing.
So that's it for this episode of the God Geek Podcast. We apologize to you guys. We know it's, like we said in the intro, it's been spotty with the episodes, but you can understand. We're having babies, and there's holidays and all this other stuff, but we're gonna get back into the groove here, and we've got, like we said in the intro, some really exciting developments for the God Geeks and this whole universe of you geeks out there. There's some really, really, really cool stuff coming, and we can't wait to start revealing it to you in the coming year. And we'll see you next week on the God Geeks Podcast.